So thank you for participating in today's webinar, and we have the unique pleasure to present this webinar series with a thought leader and a visionary in the area of social networks. It's my own privilege and pleasure to introduce Melissa to the rest of us. A few announcements as we before I make the present introduction. So Melissa will be speaking, and afterwards we'll go into Q&A. So if you have questions, I will request that you please hold on to your questions till we get to Q&A, and then the conversation would open. But before then, Melissa will be doing the presentation, and then we'll be taking in questions via chat. Just a quick introduction. Melissa is one of the world's leading experts in development of networks as a means of growing and accelerating brand loyalty and performance improvement inside and outside organizations. For more than a decade, Melissa's organization, Networking, has provided exceptional relationship marketing and management innovation programs for organizations like AT&T, CNA, CDW, UBS, Office Depot, and Disney. The company Networking specializes in social media and social networking in a business-to-business space. Melissa is also the author and co-author of 10 top best-selling books. A seventh book is co-authored by the former chief marketing officer of Office Depot, Justin Kedemira, and held number 10 spot on Amazon. Over the next 1 hour, she'll be speaking to us on networking in our digital world. To me personally, Melissa has been a mentor for over the years and has coached me on the principle of co-creating transformation opportunities in every single relationship. Without further ado, I present to everyone Melissa Giovanelli Wilson. Melissa, so now you can start the presentation. So Melissa, you can over to you now. No, we cannot hear you. You probably muted yourself. You have to unmute. Now we see you, but the video is off, your audio. On the corner on the right, do you see an icon for...
Yeah, I can see that her audio is off.
Can you...
Your screen share. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm on, right? I think everybody can hear me now. Good to go?
Yes, we can hear you, but we need your PowerPoint on.
Okay. So is PowerPoint on now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, then I'll start. Okay, everyone, welcome. And I'm going to share with you the science of networks. I'm sorry we got off to a little bit of a choppy start, but I'm sure we'll have fun. So what I'm talking about is the science of networks and how to build it. And as you can see by the picture, it's time to light up your network, and how do you accelerate networks. The question is, how do you build better business faster? That's the motto of NetWorlding. We look at ourselves as accelerators, and since the year 2000, when we brought NetWorlding out, at that time, that was my seventh book. I co-authored that with the chief marketing officer of Motorola. Her name is Jocelyn Carter Miller, and she was the first head of marketing for Motorola, which is considered to be, or at that time was, one of the top companies in the world. Well, Jocelyn was building a global network, and I had helped a lot of entrepreneurs. Together in the year, and I shouldn't say 2000, it was actually 1998 that we started the book, and we finished it, and it was published in 2000, we started building Better Business Fast. So what we started learning is how to grow a network and grow it in a very powerful way where it wasn't just about numbers. It's not about finding more friends in your life. It's about finding the quality that will produce an accelerative network. So it's time to make your network work, which means that we all know business is very slow today, and that we have lots of problems out there, lots of issues with people. They don't have time. People are busy with urgent and important projects. But in order to build an endless stream of referrals, you've got to figure out a way to accelerate your network. And the interesting thing we found in the science of networks in the book NetWorlding is that it is counterintuitive that you actually should start with a small group of no more than 10 people. And what we show you here is how to deal with the future. So, how do you get internet trends on 2020? The internet will be an immersive experience. What we're finding now, especially with this, this as an example, is that we're getting connected on the web and we have access to one another globally. Right now, I'm not able to talk with you, everyone on this call, but we do have that ability, that bandwidth is coming, and we will continue to build that. For example, Cisco, the company Cisco with its omnipresent screens, you'll be able to converse with people and create engagement and connection. It shows that, you know, 3 billion people are right on the internet. This is 2020. Collaboration will drive trade and demand, and it will be driven by entrepreneurs who know how to collaborate. Collaboration, by the way, is also a key to the work that was done by one of the greatest inventors ever, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison basically had a very, very high level of collaboration with what would be called team nets, people, small groups of people that got a lot done. So there's a challenge, though. How to collaborate? How do you find and create customers in the internet era? Well, you can look at them here, and then you can look at the traditional networking experiences, but you're going to find that you're going to have lots of activity but not a lot of accomplishments, and that your needs could fall on deaf ears. So now that you have your elevator speech but it's not working and you don't know what to do, you're not paying referrals, you're not building referrals, so what do? Networking is not the problem. The problem is making your network. So how do you do that? So the big aha is not how many connection, right connection, connection, right connection, the right primary connections. Which ones matter? So think about your primary connections. Notice that I point out 10. I use the adage that you're the sum total of the 10 people you spend the most time with. Start now, while I'm talking, writing down the top 10 people that you're spending the most time with now. And while you write them down, circle those people who are not good connections. They're not people who you want to be connected to. And I'll give you the elements of good connectors. So if you tick off all these boxes, you want to do is have people in your network that have a wide variety of connections. You want people who are observant of people and the environment. So I want you to look at your 10 people and start asking, are those 10 people in this primary circle of 10, do they have a talent for staying in touch? If you have to run after them all the time, they don't have the talent for staying in touch with you. Do these people, are people outwardly focused? I work with any of you, if I'm working with any company, the first thing I think about is not about me. I think about them, and I think about the company, and I think about their customers or their clients. I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about serving my customers and clients and serving their customers or clients. I'm outwardly focused. I think about the greatest good for the greatest number, always. I'm a community thinker. So that's the kind of person that you want in your circle of 10, because you're, again, the sum total of the 10 people you spend the most time with. And the acronym, there's a book that's been written on acronyms, and it states that you're only as strong as your weakest link. So if one person in your network is weak, that's going to pull your whole network down. So keep looking at these examples, people who are sensitive to others' needs, people who have access to different information, not just in one area. You want to get people who really know something in a deep way, and then you want to know people that those people also have access to other information. So if you will, you've got a cross paradigm of insight. You want people who have a natural talent for helping. You want people who are focused on diversity. You want people who are spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally balanced. And you want people who are influencers on things. So look at your primary circle connections. How many do you find? How many can you think of? How many do you need to now add to get a primary circle of 10? Do you have enough? Do you need a lot more primary connections? Two is develop your network, augmenting art with science to find great connections. Developing your network is both an art and a science. So how do you build trust? Building trust is an art. How do you nurture meaningful connections? How do you collaborate? How do you grow mutually beneficial relationships to achieve expansive goals even faster? That's what networking does. We have a guidebook for networking that anybody can get on Amazon. You just type in networking and look at the guidebook. If you get the guidebook, you can use it and train others. The best networks that you join should be your own network that you form. It's counterintuitive, but build your network. Build your own house of strength. But Dunbar's number, Dunbar's law, that says connections, you can have like a maximum of 150 connections that you can stay in touch with. In networking, we identify the primary circle of 10 as the start. Now, I was asked by somebody who's a writer from Forbes if I could help him with the government help the government of India grow 1 million leaders. Now, if you think about it, if you started a primary circle of 10 today, there's you facilitating. Everybody gets guidebooks. The one thing I ask people if they're going to go start a circle is that they let me know that they're starting a circle and that they then come back to me and I will come on a call just like I am with your group now and support you if you've gone to step 2 or 3 of NetWorlding. I prefer you were at step 3 where you've built your primary circles and you're now going to step 4, which is mastering what's called the support exchange model. There's an adjunct professor at Harvard. Her name is Sally Helgeson, and she said that in NetWorlding, what I created and then developed further with Jocelyn when she was at Motorola and then she became the head of marketing for Office Depot. And it's been 12 years now. NetWorlding's been licensed by Yale University. It's licensed by Motorola University. And what they found is that our model works. We're still really the only model in the world that teaches the science and art of networks in a process. So what I allow now is if people get to their circles, Sally Helgeson calls the support exchange process, which is 7 levels of networking, how you can collaborate and build transformational opportunities and then create the greatest good for the greatest number out there in the world. That's networking. And if you start with 10, you're going to go from your 10 to each person then starting their 10. And then if it kept going from 100,000 to 10,000 to 100,000, by the 6th wave, you'd have 1 million. And that's what I was trying to do with 1 million leaders in India. We still haven't quite gotten there yet, but any country, imagine every single country in the world creating 1 million leaders. That is possible. So it's impossible to fully engage in your network. So how do you find the hidden connections that matter the most? How do you find 150 primary connections that matter and then build them into your primary, your secondary? Now, I would say 150 I would put into a secondary network. Your tertiary network are your connections. As for example, I have 30,000 or more followers on Twitter. I have more than 6,000 on Facebook. I have more than 7,000 now on LinkedIn. And I have tens of thousands that I email to off my email list. But I have the primary circle of 10, my secondary circle of no more than 150, and then the tertiary out to the world. Mushroom world in weeks, not months. You cut marketing and sales costs by upwards of 50%. Each using or networking as the strategy. Now, one thing I will share with you is that I'll share another piece with you that will be interesting. Networking from my site, networking. This is the networking here about us. As you can see, it's networking is always networking is value-based. Networking networks and networking is leveraged learning. Networking is temporary. Networking is temporary. Networking is a long-term commitment. And one of the big areas you want to focus on is that networking is transactional. Networking is relational. People who are networking are moving along in a haphazard process, not a conscious strategic process. The NetWorlding guidebook takes you through 7 steps and 7 levels of collaboration and exchange to build a NetWorld. And you expand your opportunity when you build a NetWorld. So I'm going to share with you without too much of a focus. I'm not sure if I can do this or not, but I'm going to try and see if I can find my support exchange model, which I'm not sure if I can or not, but I'm going to try. It doesn't, let's see, I have it on YouTube, but I don't have the, I don't have a page on it where I can share this exactly with you. Let's see, actually, here's a PDF. Let me see if I can pull something here in this. But you can type it yourself. Here in the paper. Let me go through that with you. The first level of support is this is a look at that. In that world, seven levels of support. The very first level, I'm going to come over to that area and keep the chat. Chat questions. The area that you are really focused on is about the first level is emotional support. So I will also just type that in so everybody can have that. Emotional support is level one. I'm not on the web now, so thanks, Ben. Am I okay where I'm at with video? Just let me know. And okay, so I'm just going to stay here on what I'm talking about. So you've got emotional support, which is level one, and that's all about building this trust and the connection to your audience and the people that you're connecting with. And what you want to do is connect with attributes so that you build this emotional connection. If you've read any of Daniel Goleman's books, I believe this is how you spell his name. Daniel Goleman wrote, yes, I'll turn off my screen. Hang on a second here. Okay, so is it off now? Okay. So Daniel Goleman wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence. And that what they found with emotional intelligence is that it's a better predictive indicator of success than intellectual intelligence. The person who studied the most in this area, they cannot see. No, you only see the video. Okay, I thought you saw the chat too. Okay, so I won't type everything. Daniel Goleman wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence, and they found that research it shows that emotional intelligence predicts success more. So that's why I started with emotional intelligence as my first level in the exchange. So just as we give out carbon dioxide to trees, they give us back oxygen. We have exchanges with people. If we support them, if we build an emotional connection, trust builds. If you look at all the books on the internet about social media, the center point of it is trust. Just like Chris Brogan, who's the second top blogger in the world, he talks about trust agents. So trust is at the center. And it's still what makes people buy from people they know and trust. So the goal is to create enough connection with people that they trust you and they start buying from you. And that's where it all starts, with an emotional exchange. So everything you do on the internet is about building relationships authentically. So I'll tell you a story. There's a really good book I'm reading called, I believe it's called All That You Want, and it's by Derek Silvers, I believe, who's the founder of a company called CD Baby. And in that book, he grew the company to about 85 people. Then he sold it for $20 million. What he said was, one of the things when he was sending out CDs of independent musicians, of musical artists, that he wrote an email or a note and put it in every CD, and it said something like, dear customer, we cherish the opportunity to serve you. We're giving you these wonderful CDs, and we had 85 of our people come together, and they all blessed your CD. And it was this wonderful trust-building, caring letter, and it ended up, out of everything he did for marketing in his company, he ended up getting on the web 20,000 accolades or thank yous for doing that letter. So being caring, being trusting, that translates on the web especially, and it certainly translates face-to-face to connection. So that's the first level of networking. The second level is information sharing, which is what I'm doing now. Actually, I'm moving up a couple levels because what I'm sharing with you, after 25 years in business for me, I'm sharing the 20% that can yield an 80% return. I'm sharing wisdom. So we've got information, which is, you know, go look at this site, check it out, to knowledge, which are my stories, all my experiences that can help save you time and money, to wisdom, to saying, here's the 20% in the short time we have, I'm going to give you the best advice to give you an 80% return. That's an exchange. So if I specifically asked you, what's one piece of wisdom you could share with me, and there were 10 of us, we'd have a much better discussion than me saying, let's just share some information. Wisdom is worth a lot more. Knowledge is worth a lot more than information. So that's why we're going up levels. The next level is a promotional exchange. If you went out and told 10 people about this talk today, and each one of you did that, I have 100 new people besides yourself who knew about who I am. Having an exchange would be saying to somebody, here's how I'd like you to tell other people about me. What do you think would be a good way? And figuring out how to promote someone, how to build word of mouth. And then me asking you, now what can I say about you? How can I promote you? So it's an exchange of I'll promote you, you promote me. In our guidebooks, there, and I will step away for a moment since I'm in my office. So I'm showing you my guidebook here. These are my guidebooks, and so I've got one guidebook here where you can, it's a trainer, a guidebook for a trainer. We have an individual one. I sold this one recently to 50 leaders in the Girl Scouts. It's a teen leadership guidebook for networking. And this is the original networking book so that you can see that. All of these over the last 12 years have, and I'll be very honest with you, I've pretty much given back all of what I've made in networking. I've used the money to sustain myself and my life and help my sons. I have had two sons, one that went through cancer, came out on the other side, rode 3,000 miles. He rode from Chicago to Panama City. He actually rode all the way from Chicago to Miami on a bicycle by himself every day, 8 hours. Took him 6 weeks. He flew from Miami to Cancun in Mexico, and then he went six countries to Panama City, crossing six borders all by himself. Not something I wanted him to do. It took him 6 weeks, and he rode 36,000 miles after he finished cancer treatment. Most of what I do, I give back. I probably give back, realistically, 80%. And if there's anything that I'm trying to do this year is, I came out with a very provocative book that is on Amazon. It's called Networking is Dead, Making Connections That Matter. And people can pre-buy it now. So it's like $10. So if you can sell the heck out of that one, that would be great, because my goal after the book comes out is to start a not-for-profit called Spark Center. And I want to build a center where people can come and gain understanding of social media and connect to each other and make the world a better place. So I almost got to do this for the country of Spain, but I keep hitting these intersections where I start and then they don't go forward. And everybody knows Oprah. I was once ready to do a pilot with the person who produced a show like Oprah, the Phil Donahue show, which is what got Oprah started. I was going to work with that person because that it all started in Chicago. Oprah really got started. Phil Donahue got started in Chicago. Oprah got started here. And by the way, Rotary is here. Rotary One started here. Rotary International is set here. The YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association, that started here. So, and Malcolm Gladwell's A Tipping Point really started here when he wrote about Lois Weisberg, who I actually overlook, my window overlooked where Lois Weisberg was, and Gladwell wrote The 6 Degrees of Lois Weisberg. So Chicago is an epicenter for connection. We have the largest number of students here, over, I believe, 30 universities representing 230,000 students, I believe, and they spend $30 million a year on retail here. My hope is that they don't spend their money on more clothing, that they spend it on themselves to make a difference in the world, and that they value themselves. And the Spark Centers that I hope will become physical locations will be out there where people all over the world can connect and help people grow opportunities for one another. So that's networking. It's a movement. It's a mantra. It's a growing process. So I stopped at promotional support. The next level is having an exchange with somebody. So there's emotional, there's information, there's knowledge, there's promotional support, and then wisdom, fifth level. The sixth level is transformational opportunities. I once did a talk to a company called Fortune Brands, and I said, would you rather have a conversation with somebody that says, let's create an opportunity together, or would you rather do something where you say, let's create a transformational opportunity together this year? For me, I want to create a transformational opportunity, the greatest good for the greatest number. Level 7 of networking is, if you start a group and you start building and you use these tools, like I'm talking about, with what we have here, where you can fill all this out, it has all the worksheets, if you use them, you will create a transformational opportunity. And when you do, then you want to pay it forward and share it with others. So you get to 1 million leaders. And that's my vision, is every country there would be a leader that would create 10 leaders. The 10 leaders would create 100. The 100 would create 1,000. The 1,000 would create 10,000. The 10,000 would create 100,000. And the 100,000 in the sixth degree or the sixth wave would create 1 million. And that's my vision, and that's how I think we can change the world, and that's networking. And we started it back in, as I said, 1998, and it's been now 12 years, going on 13. We'll come out with the update of networking soon, and I'm excited about doing that, and we will keep moving it. You know, hopefully it will keep going, and I do have a site called Networking Circles where people can get information, and my goal is to help people really build all over the world. So I'm done with networking, and any questions that you might have? So I'm not sure what you want me to do now. Okay.
Thank you for the presentation. We appreciate that. I have a quick question before the questions start coming in. And the question is, what would be your own thoughts around this endless debate of quantity versus quality networking? What do you have to say about that? What would you encourage us to, you know, concentrate on more? Can we combine both together? You know, what have been your experience in joining that conversation?
Well, I think that we are a world that we're communicating. The way it should be is Communicate one-to-one with your primary circle partners.
Take off my
if you want to get, the way you practice networking is to get a group of 10 in addition to yourself together. So that's you, 1 to 10, and then 1 to many. So you can do it simultaneously if you want, but do spend the majority of your time actually 1 to 1 with your primary circle of 10. And then 1 to the small group, so you can have meetings every 2 weeks or every month after you get going. You could make it every month. You could make it every week to start for the first month. But then you want to build it from there.
And 1 second, let us go to YouTube and take questions. Can you please now send in your questions? And while we wait for the questions, if you can please go through again, that would be awesome. There were some connection and we lost some of the voice while the presentation was going on. If you can please go through the exchange model again and just quickly run us through the various steps of networking exchange model.
Okay. So the first level is emotional support. That's building up trust and connectivity to somebody. It's building rapport. It's one of the things I'll say in the emotional level, it's I call it building points of commonality first. So what do you have in common with somebody? Do they like to do what you like to do? Find things that you have in common, and that builds, that's what social is all about. That's why it's called social networking. So there's emotional support, which is level one. Level two is information support. So I share information. Check out this website. Check out this this article written by this person. The third level is knowledge. That's where I share experiences. As I told you, the story of Book Baby, or the story of, you know, working with Jocelyn, or any story. So I've got emotional support, information support, and knowledge support, where I'm sharing experiences. The fourth level is what we call promotional support. So promotional support is, I'll promote you. How can I best promote you to others and tell others about you? What would you like me to say about you? Because you may have done something recently that you want me to know. Maybe I didn't know you wrote a book. Maybe I don't know you're speaking somewhere. But once you tell me and you say, Melissa, that's how I want you to share with people about what I'm doing now, and then you say, and how can I promote you now? Because people are always changing. So promotional support is an exchange. The fifth level is wisdom. That's where the questions are. And inside, again, in the guidebooks, the levels of support, what we do here is I have all the questions you can ask and all the ways you can support others, how statements of support on each level of the support exchange model. So with wisdom, I would ask you a specific question, such as, what's the one thing that you tell me around marketing, or the one thing you tell me around engineering that is most important, or the one thing that I need to know to get a job? That's asking somebody for wisdom support. And then you can offer a similar support, either offer it or someone can ask it. And that's the pages in the guidebook. You can duplicate them. You can use that as a tool. And then the next level, the sixth level, is if you're doing all these and having exchanges, you will get to exchanging transformational opportunities, which are wonderful, such as, what if we did, what if we ran a whole series of seminars together or webinars like you're doing now? That's a transformational opportunity. And level seven is, if you're doing all these on an ongoing basis with your primary circle partners, people who are good exchangers, they're not takers, and givers are good, but givers sometimes give too much. They don't focus on quality. They focus on quantity. And you really want somebody who's discerning. So level six is the transformational exchange of opportunities. And then level seven is paying it forward. Now that you're doing something well, how can you create it so that you can pay it forward and gift it to others and spread it out there for the greater good? And those are the seven levels. And you keep working the levels over and over and over again.
Yeah, thank you. The next question that would is that at what point do you think it's fine when we have earned due respect, credibility, trust? Do we now talk about business, you know, or monetizing our networks, you know, for business opportunities? How do we make that transition with us still respecting the trust that invested in us?
What you're looking for, most people resonate with two different questions, which would be good. One is, what's one thing that you've been working on a lot that you still have difficulty with, and how can I help you with that? Let's say the person says, they're probably going to go into their business world and they're probably going to say, I'm having trouble with sales. I'm not getting the sales I used to get. Or I'm having trouble getting people on the phone. They could be that specific. Or I'm getting frustrated because I have too much work and I don't know how to prioritize and actually get work done. All those problems could be solutions that your business services can help with. But let's pretend they aren't. Let's pretend there's nothing you can help that person with. But for you to say, look, I'm going to look through my network and I'm going to try to find somebody who can help you, that's good too. And that creates that, if you will, the highest level of relationship, which is trusted advisor. So if I said to you, if I could find someone for you, I'm going to look for you, I'm going to take the time. If I can find someone to help you with that, would that be a benefit? Oh, absolutely, that would be wonderful. There was a woman from Pepsi, you know, huge company, PepsiCo. She was coming to town. She was the chief financial officer, and she had a daughter who was a special needs child. They were moving from the East Coast, and she wanted to find a school for her daughter to go to. Well, that has nothing to do with business, but I helped her, and that opened the door for me to ask her. For my request then was, she said, what can I help you with? And I asked her for an introduction into PepsiCo. One of my lines now is that the introduction has become the new referral. I didn't ask her to endorse me. I didn't ask her to recommend me. I asked her to introduce me. And that introduction carried influence because it's called a transference of trust. Let's say on a scale from 1 to 5, she's the chief financial officer of Pepsi, and she has a 5-level trust with a number of people at the company, 5 being the highest. If she says, you should talk with Melissa, she's transferred that trust to me on my trust continuum. I've maybe gone from a 1, because they don't know me, to a 4. So that's what you're looking at, an introduction and trust. Opening up, I also call it opening up a relationship before closing a deal. You want to open up a relationship, and you want to be helpful. So you ask, how can I help you? When anyone connects with me on LinkedIn, I get 40% of my business on LinkedIn. Yesterday, I got 4 people asking for me to help them write books, which is where my real passion is now, is helping write books and getting the networking message out. So I said, you know, so I look at LinkedIn. I've built an infrastructure of trust on LinkedIn. I have 77 or 79 recommendations on LinkedIn. That helps because people will start to see people you know that they know. They know that they see you're connected and they'll connect with you. So ask them that. Another thing you can do is, and I did this with a bank. We had 75 targeted prospects in the room, and they were all business owners with companies from 3 to 50 million in sales. and I asked them the one question, which was, what's the one thing you're going to do for your company starting next year, because we were in November, that you're most excited about? So it's the opposite. What are you having the biggest problem with to what are you most excited about? Because our minds, our brains are networks, right? Right between our two ears, we have a network. Our brains are neural networks. Transportation systems are networks. Television is a network, and the internet is a network of all networks. So if you can guide someone to a point where they connect, which creates the opportunity, that's what you're looking for. So what's one thing you're most excited about? And I would say 80% of the people at this event were either hiring a whole new group of people, so they needed more money, they needed to go to the bank, that's why we're there, the bank held the event, or they were going to get a new space, and they needed money for the new space. And guess who was right next to them when I asked that question? At least two bankers on either side of each one of these people with $3 to $50 million in sales in their company. And they were already had built up to a level where they had, we call it in net worlding, ready, willing, and able to buy. I hit them right at that intersection. I asked them what they were most excited about, which if you can connect the heart to the head, people buy from their feelings. So I asked them what was most exciting, and that was the answer. And it was perfect. It was a perfect question. So the one other question I'll give you that's a wonderful question, and that's how I met Jocelyn to write NetWorlding, and my whole life changed. I ended up with a $500,000 contract at Motorola because of meeting her. I met her on the board at the University of Chicago, and my question to her was, before this book ever became into existence, here's Jocelyn and here's me way back when I had dark hair. So I asked her, I said, what's one thing that you haven't done in your career that you want to do? And guess what she said? You get it? She said she wanted to write a book. Well, just like the candle, if I light a candle and I give my light to Jocelyn, did that burn my candle out? No, it only increased my flame. So when I had the opportunity to write a new book, I asked her if she wanted to do that book with me, and she said yes. That got me into Motorola, that got me into American Express, that got me into Office Depot, that got me into Children's Hospital in Atlanta, that's grown my business, and I'm going out to Twitter to work with them for 2 days. For free, by the way. This is not get rich quick. This is build the relationship. It's open the relationship before you close a deal. And it takes trust and connection, honesty, and giving in order to do it. And the more you give, actually, don't give, don't take, exchange. If you master the exchange, and I know nowhere else where you can see the exchange than what we did in NetWorlding, and studying it and understanding and getting the workbooks and teaching it and starting your own group, there is no way you can master it. Even myself, I have to practice. So the one thing I'm gifting you is a copy of the Nanosecond NetWorlders. I'm going to send it to Gabanga to send to you so you can read the Nanosecond NetWorlders, but you're going to need the guidebook. You can get the guidebook. You can make copies of it. I give half of the proceeds that I get from all the guidebooks, I mentor others, just like I mentored you, Gabanga. You know, I give my time. Time treasures talents and thoughts to others. So with NetWorlding, that's what you want to do. And Sally Helgeson, who was the professor at Harvard, calls the 7 levels of support. She calls it world. And hopefully you're going to do what I do, which is make the world a better place for all.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we do have one more question coming in from Bridgeport, Connecticut. And it's coming in from Ogay. He says, Melissa, in your interaction with clients and users of your concept of networking, that is building from 10 to 100 to 1 million, what are the most common challenges reported?
The biggest challenge is trying to do this where it scales. So, for example, I had a community, a Polish community, come to me, and they said, what can we do? One of the good things that I'd recommend is they had 40 people. So I said, why don't you go ahead and then form in groups of four? Because you don't have to have 10. You can have four. You can have 10 or fewer, I should say. They did four. They did 10 groups of four, and they each went and they worked on a project in the community. So when they got done, they got back together and celebrated, and they had 10 successes. So one group cleaned up a park. Another one took graffiti off of a school walls on the in the school in their neighborhood. So it was a great learning experience. What we do in networking, we have you, if you want to, you can pick out a group goal, you can pick out an individual goal, because what you do in the steps, the seven steps, is you identify, you get together with groups and you practice it, and then you focus on a goal. So you can have both a group and a individual goal, and then you start working toward those goals. And the you try to accomplish the goal in 60 days. So most groups, if you can do it and change and grow to the next group in another after 60 days, that's where you want to get. But if you can get from a group of 10 and then get what you want to do is get each one of those people starting their own group of 10. But when you start a group, you are the facilitator. So there are 11 of you in total. But assign another person, or round, what's called round robin it, assign a different person for each meeting to help support you as a co-leader. So that way your group keeps growing because everybody's involved. And always have the people in the group meet with each other. So if you have a group of 10, say pick one person between the time we meet now, well, we're trying to be meeting now and the next time, get together one-on-one and have an exchange and practice the exchange. Because exchanges happen one-on-one first, and then they happen between a small group where the group supports you. Those are called mind. Everyone knows the mastermind groups, but they miss out on the one-to-one. So you do one-to-one in between, one to the small group practicing, one-to-many when you're out on the web, because your whole group will help support you then. And then keep building. That second wave is the toughest. After you get to the second, the third and the fourth are easier. But what happens is you always ask, as you do the other circles and you pass the pay it forward, you ask them to come back and report their successes. So if each group has, you know, as a group they have one, the first group has a group, you have one goal you achieve, but the second group has 10 goals they achieve, that's exciting. And that's where you'll start generating more and more energy. And again, I'm here to help make that happen. I mean, you know, I want, there's one other line I'll give you. There's a visual. They say if you put blocks in front of a big train, that the train can't move, two small blocks. But if the train's in motion, it can break through a brick wall. I'm an accelerator. I'll come in once you got the motion started. You need to be like my spark center. You need to be the sparks that started. Because I've been doing it for 12 years. It's your turn now. I need other people to help me.
Wow. Thank you so much, Melissa. And particularly thank you for the gift, the nanosecond networkers that will be shared with the fellows. We start at 1:05, so we actually have 5 minutes more. And if you can briefly talk about your new book coming out, Networking is Dead, and what opportunities, you know, might our fellow participate in just benefiting from your wealth of experience and hard work in that.
Yes, I'm gonna go get the book, so hang on 1 second. Okay. What I'm offering now, and I think we talked about this before, is I will give you a free coaching session if, I believe it's if you buy 11 books. I'm going to do a 30-minute coaching session if you buy 11. This is the book, Networking is Dead. You can pre-buy it. You're not going to get billed till November because the book won't officially be out till November 6th, but you can pre-buy it And I'm happy to pre-gift you with a coaching session. If for any reason you know someone who wants a speaking engagement, I think if somebody buys 500 books, which you can on Amazon, these are available on Amazon and they're available on Barnes & Noble. I don't think you can pre-buy the Kindle. The Kindle version will be out too. But I believe they're about $9 or $10 a book at the moment. And the goal is to pre-buy it. I would welcome anyone, you know, to send me questions that they have. But Networking is Dead is a book about two people, a man and a woman, who are trying to figure out all the things that I told you about during this time. My co-author was the head of leadership for American Express, so his name is Larry Moll. And the characters in the book are Lance and Meredith, and Dan is he's the guru that helps these two really figure out the mastery process. So we find that when we tell stories, and I'm really excited about the Nanosecond Networlders, for you to read that and then read Networking is Dead, and then let me know what you think. I so appreciate it when you give me reviews on Amazon, and hopefully they're good reviews. So that's a gift too. And let me know how I can gift to you. I'm happy to gift nonprofits with the guidebook. I think what I'll do now is say I'll gift it to you if you pay for the first round. I'll gift you the electronic copies so that you can duplicate them yourselves if you at least do the first round. Because what I realize is you need to invest a little bit, and I'll invest a little bit, which will grow. So I really am excited if any of that resonates with you. Oh, and one other thing, just like the Nanosecond Networlders, which I'm really excited for you to read, it talks about building circles around the world, which is my big hope, and that eventually I will do retreats. I'm going to get to a point where I do want to do circle retreats in different parts of the world. So I think that will be very exciting. And for anybody who really gets good at networking, I'm happy to, you know, help you and mentor you just as I do out there. I'm not licensing networking right now. My goal is to just sell the books and to get people really engaged with the process and use the book sales, which, by the way, for anybody, since I know a lot about writing books, on average, with the guidebook, I make about $8 on a guidebook, which is really nice because, you know, that helps me do a lot for a lot of people. On a book like this book, just so you know, I have a publisher, so I'll make about 50 cents a book. That's not a lot. There are books like The Hunger Games and Harry Potter's books and so forth. The Harry Potter book series, they'll sell 30 million. I hope one day Networlding will sell, several million copies, because the goal is to really serve the world. And I'm excited to hear what your thoughts are and get involved in Networlding. I mean, you can sign up for my blog, for my newsletter. There's all kinds of ways to engage.
Thank you so much. We are really appreciative of your time and wisdom with the group. We can't thank you enough. We really appreciate you and sharing your wisdom with us in the area of networking, and we appreciate you. I would send out the Nanosecond Networker book to the group, and also we'll be in touch with inquiries and questions they might have, and potentially how organizations in our network can also benefit from your wealth of wisdom in this area. We're going to end the broadcast now, and we'll be in touch. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you.
You too.